Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, when I invited the man to come and share some testimonies of what God has done in their lives, I thought first, oh God, you're going to give me a break. I'm not going to preach much. And then I opened, obviously, the Bible like I always do, and I thought, oh God, how am I going to get all that in? So here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at two specific verses, 7 and 8. It's the Apostle Paul. I kind of wrap up what you have learned over the last 3 to 6 months when it comes to understanding the supernatural. I don't make any apologies for it because we do need to know it. And the Apostle Paul is telling us in chapter 2, in verses 7 and 8, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What that is saying is connected to what is previously just mentioned in the few verses before, where it says that God is using the Apostle Paul not to come and teach the people in the wisdom of man, not with clever words, not with all the fancy presentations. He said, so much so that I only know Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because once he is crucified, there is going to be a resurrection necessary, and after that, bringing him back into the Father's presence. Paul said in verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. In other words, we would say it this way. The Apostle Paul, when he preached the word of God, he was literally trembling, knowing that he's handling something that is super important. Not like today where people just say, well, I can preach a sermon, I can do this. No, when we handle the word of God, we're handling the word of God. We have to be careful how we're going to manage this. And Paul said, I was trembling every time I was preaching the word of God. My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He's not talking about miracles, signs, and wonders necessarily. He said that which the word accomplished in those who were listening and applying it. There's power being released in the word of God. Why? So that the faith, your faith, might not rest in the wisdom of man, but listen to this, in the power of God. That's where it all has to rest. And he said, yet among the mature we impart wisdom. In other words, far beyond the basic principles of biblical truth, the basic elementary things, how we get saved. We need to become members of a local body where the word of God is being preached. We need to be loving one another, loving God, all these kind of things. This is all basic principle stuff. But he said, among the mature, those who have grown out of that, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age, or of the rulers of this age who were doomed to pass away. He said, that's not what I'm doing. I'm impart wisdom to the mature. Those words were spoken by the Apostle Paul to a church at Corinth when he explained the gospel to them. Good news. All of us know here at Victory what we do. The foundation of the church is built upon two foundational principles. And we need to be reminded of that constantly. The first principle is the great commandment, where Jesus said, if you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, this is the greatest commandment, and the second is likewise. In that, all the Old Testament is wrapped up. And then, obviously, he gives us the great commission. And the great commission is found in Matthew 28. And it says, Jesus came and said to them, this is after the resurrection, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Many times we are using verse 19 and 20 to say, okay, we need to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and to all the nations. And the word nations is in there specifically mentioned. And there's a reason for that. But we many times miss verse 18. We are only able to do that because something has transpired. All authority in heaven and on earth, not just in heaven, listen to this, heaven and on earth, has been given to me, Jesus speaking of himself. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. How much authority is there left for anybody else? This is the fundamental principle the church is fighting with in the minds and hearts. We're looking for all kinds of solutions in all kinds of places for that which plagues humankind. And without getting a little bit too deep into it, but I tell you what, there's no solution to the problems man faces in the political arena. I mean, zip. If you haven't gotten that by now, you might need to speed up a little bit. There is no solution in the amount of wealth you and I can accumulate that will solve any of these problems. And I say these two things because they are the primary targets of so many Christians trying to solve problems. Quite a few people ask me throughout the last 6 months, do we really need to know all this stuff about the supernatural? Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I can tell you this morning that one of the major issues the church is facing in the 21st century, and has for centuries, by the way, is having taken the supernatural aspect of the Bible out and tried to do it with human wisdom. The very thing Paul said we can't do, but we did. Try it anyway. Most of our traditional teachings are based upon human wisdom. As a matter of fact, it is difficult in certain mainline denominations to get a pastoral position without having a master's degree. Human wisdom. You and I need to learn every day through the Word of God what God is doing. When we open the book, understanding the supernatural is a must to understand the great commandment and the great commission. Have you ever wondered yourselves? I don't know how you process this. We have spent more billions of dollars through the church's hands around the world to preach the gospel, and the world is getting worse and worse. The church in America has never been as prosperous as it is today. But I wouldn't say spiritually, just physically. If you would be an investor, wouldn't you pull your money if there is absolutely no return? Why do we invest in those what I call evangelism enterprises? Why don't we pull the money and let these people go their way and you and I do what God has called us to do? Make disciples one-on-one. Share the good news with people one-on-one. Be a representation of Christ wherever you work, wherever you go on vacation. Be the representation of God. Don't be the person who says, well, I'm going to church, that's why I'm a Christian, but during the week, I am no different than you. I think we need to go back to the basics, and the supernatural understanding is extremely important. We can say with our mouths, I know that I have an enemy who doesn't want my brothers and sisters, my siblings, my friends, my acquaintances getting saved. I know that, but how do you deal with it? That's the question. Paul said, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. Listen, secret and hidden. How many would have to say, that's not to be picked up on the surface. Hidden and secret wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages. For whom? For our glory. He decreed that. None of the rulers, when Paul said rulers, he is talking about those fallen sons of God. Those who are ruling the world. He said they had no clue what they were doing. My son came to undo the work and take the power and authority away from them. They had no idea, and they wanted to crucify me, and I went, and through it, I disarmed them. He said, well, Paul just had a bad day because the Corinthians really gave him trouble. That's why. Everywhere you go and follow Paul, in any letter he wrote, he is always pointing out that secret hidden wisdom of God is the key to win the nations back to God. It's the key. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. The apostle Paul is using the same verbiage. He said, of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles, listen to this, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, did you get that? So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to whom? Would you read that out loud with me? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. The church is missing it. We go to all the places talking to people. We forget that when we talk to people, we have spiritual entities that has kept these people in bondage. And he said the church is the instrument God is using to proclaim the manifold wisdom of God, and that it may be known to the rulers and the authorities of the nations. You know what we do in the church? We crouch and say, oh, I better don't do, no, I don't do that. This is a war that's going on for the heart and soul of every human being. Last Sunday I told you how Jesus came to get his family back. He doesn't get him back without a battle. And the church is not to sit here and do absolutely nothing when it comes to the spiritual battle. He said, well, Pastor, last week you told me, and then this morning you told me, I should get out of the way. Yes, you should get out of the way. And that's the secret hidden wisdom, when to move and when not to move. When to step up to the plate and when not to step up to the plate. And it is there where you and I need to spend time in the presence of God Almighty to find out when the order is happening. People don't give you orders. It's the Holy Spirit who gives you the marching orders. You don't give yourselves the orders. The Holy Spirit gives you the marching orders. Who is in charge here? This is the hidden wisdom, the very thing the church is actually saying is non-existent anymore. You say, no, they all believe. Oh, no. We're fighting. Is the Holy Spirit real? And if the Holy Spirit is in you, shouldn't all these crazy things be happening? The power of the Holy Spirit is here for you and me to know that we do not have to back down when we have to share the good news with Jesus. Don't be afraid. I was so blessed last week. I did go shopping one half a day. Yeah, I did. My wife talked me into it. I know. Sad to see. But one of the wonderful things is that the lady on the cash register looked at me before I could say it and said, Merry Christmas. And I said, wow, Merry Christmas to you too. There are people out there They're not afraid to speak, despite the fact that the world tells us otherwise. That to the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known, not tomorrow, not 10 years from now, now, now. The church is supposed to make that known. And how many of you know that is supernatural? I don't think you get it. I said that is supernatural. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. So when you speak to a person, they can't understand it unless the Holy Spirit is the one that motivates you to speak. Spiritual things motivate spiritual things. We need to be able to communicate to the spirit of man in there so that the Holy Spirit can actually illuminate the eyes. Remember, the ruler of this world has blinded the eyes of the people who don't know God? And only the Holy Spirit can open up blinded eyes. And you and I need to let Him work through us in such a way. Nobody is interested in how much knowledge we have. But they're interested if you can share and articulate the power of God Almighty through the way you live. Did you hear that? Not the way you talk, the way you live. Our walk as Christians should be a supernatural walk where people start questioning, how in the world can a person under such severe conditions work and have still the joy of the Holy Spirit living in them? How is it possible? The answer is the power of the living God. Just before Jesus left this earth, He gathered His people together, His disciples, and He told them, I know that you are nervous because I told you I'm going to leave. But He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And obviously everybody says, okay, I go. This is the wonderful 6,000 square foot mansion. I always want it, and in heaven I'm going to get it. That's not what He says. He said, but when I'm going there, my Father will finally bring the promise to pass. He will send the Holy Spirit. You are not going to be alone down there. You cannot do the work on your own. So much so that He said before He left, listen, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. Don't move from the place. I arrange it all. You just wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Then you go. I can summarize to you how that works. In the book of Acts, obviously, we always think Acts is closed. Or sometimes people think it's the acts of the people. No, it's the acts of the Holy Spirit. He did all the work. Little did they know, as they were sitting in Jerusalem, waiting for the promise, by the way, fearful, hiding from the people, thinking that they're going to be next hanging on a cross. God arranged something which nobody could have seen coming. He got all the people He has preselected to bring to Jerusalem for the day of a Jewish feast. The reason, they came to celebrate the day of Pentecost, not knowing what that meant. Oh yeah, they knew what the Holy Spirit told them in the Old Testament, but they did not know what is yet to come. Then the Holy Spirit came. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. We have read this story so many times. And we go, oh yeah, this is wonderful. Let's go on to the next one. But the Bible says in verses 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we would just stop right there. We could come up with all kinds of ideas what that means. As a matter of fact, when it says the sound and the fire, this is an Old Testament description when God showed up anywhere. This was not a few tongues swirling on top of the heads of the people. This was God's glory from heaven because the Spirit of the living God was among them. And he manifested himself in such a way that they could see it. This was not... This shocked them to the core. And the Bible tells us in the next few verses what really happened. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews. Let me stop right there. Jews is the name for Israelites who were dispersed all over the world. When you were in Israel, you were called an Israelite. When you were in a foreign nation, you were called a Jew. So when you hear the word Jew in the Bible, these are all people who do not live in Israel. God's people, why? Why is that important? Because every Jew was under the authority of the ruler of this world and the fallen sons of God who ruled the nations. And God took them to Jerusalem. He brought them there. They were Jews. Devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak what? In their own language. So when the Holy Spirit came, the Spirit of the living God, those disciples all of a sudden were able to proclaim the hidden mystery of the gospel to people in their own language so they could understand it. They came from everywhere. The Bible even gives us some idea where they came from and what kind of language they actually spoke, only it was not Hebrew. Those who lived in that vicinity and watched the disciples and knew where they came from Galilee, they laughed and said they were drunkards. These old Galileans, how can they speak another language which they have never learned? How many of you know that's not a big deal for the Holy Spirit to do? He can do anything. There are no limitations. So they're speaking in all these kind of languages. They were telling the story of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, everyone in the language. What is for me the miraculous thing is not that they were able to speak the languages, but how in the world can they speak with all these different languages and the right people understand the right language? Take five people and put them on a bench, each one speaking a different language, and on the other bench are the people who should receive it. They say, stop, can you all stop once so I can understand what the person is saying? They all spoke at the same time. And the recipients got it. Now that's a miracle. You say, God could never do that. Listen, it doesn't take a genius to figure out. How many of you know you can have 500 babies in the nursery and 500 moms, and the mom knows if their own baby cries out of all the 500? Just like that. How does that happen? When God spoke, 3,000 people understood in their own language exactly what the disciples were sharing. Why is that important? Because there's a lot more to the story than the second chapter of Book of Acts. We will cover that in the next 3 months, by the way. What is really fascinating, to me at least, is that the Christians today have trouble understanding the supernatural aspect of the Holy Spirit, and yet at the same time they couldn't function without him. You know, the arrival of the Holy Spirit is not so that people can speak in tongues. The arrival of the Holy Spirit was the launching of a spiritual war to reclaim not only Jews who had rejected Jesus as a nation, but also Gentiles who up to that point had no access to become covenant people of God. And the Holy Spirit was a necessity for that to happen. Why? Because in the book of Genesis, when people were rebelling constantly against God, God gave all the nations over to hostile sons of God, spiritual beings. And they ruled them with an iron fist. When the Holy Spirit came, he started launching what God promised, that Gentiles will be a part of the covenant people. And for that to happen, all the people from the different nations need to hear the gospel. In other words, you're taking slaves under bondage out of those hostile nations and bring them into the kingdom of the living God. The Apostle Peter said, don't you know you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation? You're once again a nation, but ruled by the Holy Spirit and not ruled by those hostile spirits. Can you imagine the war that was going on? Can you imagine people who go and say, I can do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. I have been a learned person. I know the original language of the Bible. I can do all these things. I don't need the power of the Holy Spirit. Really? It's a spiritual war. Have you ever read that knowledge only puffs up? It's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes it all happen. What do you suppose these people, these 3,000 people who responded in the book of Acts in the day of Pentecost, what were they doing next? What do you think? They went home, where they came from. They all went home. And what do you think they did when they went home? They were sharing the testimony of what they have just experienced. What God literally did, he took 3,000 Jews from all the nations, sent them back, and they became witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, literally inserting secret agents behind the enemy line. That's what God did in the spiritual. And they started preaching. And every time they had a person who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, they took one hostage from that nation and transposed them into the kingdom of the living God. One person at a time. And it's still going on. And that's the secret, hidden mystery of God Almighty, how he does it. And if you think we in America, we are a Christian nation, no, we're sitting in a hostile nation. America is under a spiritual fallen creature, just like any other nation. But we are here. And we are here to represent God and him alone. That's what these 3,000 did. 3,000 evangelists filled with the Holy Spirit, can you imagine? Which brings us back to Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus. That's why he could send them. He could never have sent them without having this authority and then empower them with the Holy Spirit to do it. That's why. How does that impact you and me today? It's fantastic just thinking about it. There is not a power on earth who can withstand the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. There's not a power on earth that can withstand the power of the Holy Spirit. That includes all the armies of the world and all the most powerful nations. They cannot withstand the power of the Holy Spirit, and that power is vested in the Church of Jesus Christ. Why does the church today cave to all this stuff the world is putting upon them? When we have all the authority vested in us through Jesus Christ, he is the head of the church. There will be only one answer to this. And that is, the church does not believe in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit being more powerful than the world. That's the only answer. And may God forgive us if we even think that way. When God raised Jesus from the dead, there was a lot more going on than just forgiving our sins. And praise God he did that. But he also subjected the rulers and authorities of this world at the same time. And that's what the church is missing. That's the hidden mystery that is only revealed to those who are mature enough to know and then to act on it. You say, how in the world did you come up with that? The Bible. Colossians chapter 2. Let's read a few scripture verses. It's just to whet your appetite for what's coming these coming months. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13, 14, and 15. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. He says, and you, he's talking about you and me, born again believers. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our debts, trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. You know what? Most of the churches stop right there. That's all they preach. They say the gospel is the forgiveness of sin. It's good news that Jesus died for you. That's only a portion of it. Look at the next. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. What did he do with that? He disarmed the rulers. There is that ruler again, the spiritual fallen creatures. Rulers and authorities, and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. Wow. The Apostle Paul is using a Roman terminology with a picture. Whenever they conquered a nation, they took the rulers of those nations and the elite, put them in chain and paraded them to Rome to the streets as their hostages. They are now under our authority. That's the picture Paul is painting here. He said, when Jesus was on the cross, when he triumphed over them and he said, it is finished, he put all the spiritual authorities and rulers to open shame. The problem is, while the people down here were weeping that he died, in the heavenly there was joy, unspeakable and full of glory. They saw what's going on. You say, well, that's just one. Paul had bad breakfast. Let me give you an Ephesians, another one, chapter 1. Let's read Ephesians. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power. The immeasurable greatness of his power. To whom? Toward us who believe. Toward us who believe. According to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Listen to this. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Do you know the implications of that? Above every name that is named. And now we have people who are movers and shakers in the evangelical churches say there are many different names, but the same God. That's not what the Bible says. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things. What? Listen to this. To the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, isn't that fantastic? That's the church. It's a spiritual battle. In the age to come, The Bible tells us Jesus will deliver that kingdom to God the Father after having destroyed every ruler, every authority, and every power. Why? Because that's what the saints will take over. We will rule and reign with him. We will replace those fallen ones who rebelled against God. And we will rule and reign with the ultimate ruler, Jesus Christ. We're not sitting on clouds, fiddling. We have work to do. There's a whole universe to be ruled. And his body is the ultimate rulership. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. There is a purpose why he gets us through all these things and teaches us to stay faithful to him. These little trials which you and I experience here, the Apostle Paul said, I count them as rubbish. They're nothing compared to the glory which Jesus has prepared for you and me. He's talking about these spiritual things yet to come. And we are being trained right now with all our limitations in the physical to be with him in rulership. Today we can withstand every principality and every power because the Holy Spirit is vested in you and me. Well, what if they chop your head off? You know what? It's just a head. Have you ever read that the body goes where it came from? The early saints, they did not worry about getting killed. They know that it is even a greater blessing to be in the presence of God. Man today works so hard to extend life. Ooh, if I only could live to be 200, they say. No, if I only could live a full life representing God, and when I'm done, I'm done, I'm going home. This thing is but a vapor, this life. The greatest things are yet to come. And you know what? That battle is raging in the spiritual, despite the fact that all authority and all power has been given unto God. They are still in the guerrilla warfare attitude. They will take you down. They will do anything they can to make you ineffective as a child of the living God. And I'm saying anything. Isn't it amazing how Christians fight over stupidity? Thank you. It took a while. Do you know we have better things to do? We have to represent the king. We have to withstand the real enemy. We do have one who has no authority and no power that has been given to Jesus. And he is the head of the body. If you and I give in to the pressure of the enemy, it is because we have believed the lie. It's true deception. And my question to you is this morning, are you willing to let the Holy Spirit open your eyes to the spiritual truth? This is not about you or me. This is much bigger than you or me. This is about the King of Kings and Lord of Glory. Have you ever read in the Bible? I've read it many times. All things were created by him, for him, and through him. Not for you or me, for him. The good news, that's the gospel, is if you are found in him, then you partake of that inheritance. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. The inheritance which is prepared for his people. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. If you open, Lord, our eyes so we may see. Lord, this morning, we asking that you would open our eyes. As your Apostle Paul said, that I might get to know the power of his resurrection. Father, that power is the Holy Spirit. May we all who call upon your name experiencing that power. So we do not try to convince people to become Christians. We speak your word and we live your word, and the power of yours is flowing to us, and you will make the miracle happen. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for understanding, loving you and loving our neighbors is to embrace the truth and to live the truth. And no matter what holds us bondage, the truth will set us free. May this 2019 year comes and will bring new blessings to your people, not just here in Jewel, not just in this country, but around the world. Lord, you have your people everywhere. You've started the work at the day of Pentecost to take the people back from under the hostile nations. And the work is not yet finished, but may we be privileged to be a part of it, so we can bring glory and honor to you. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, amen. Let's stand, shall we sing?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, his word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God, who calls me here below, will be forever mine. You are forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace.
Let's sing it one more time, my chains.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
God's people can say, amen.